And the Nashville Predators just got another win in overtime against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I think all they wanted to do tonight was make us squirm and make us worry. And that's exactly what they did. This is the Catfish on Ice podcast, episode 41. We're all breathing a sigh of relief right now. Let's take a deep breath and calm down, everybody. That's how I'm feeling right now. How's the guys doing? How's Colin and Rich doing tonight? This is Chad Benton, your host, Colin Bloom and Rich Howe.
I'm good. I feel like I wore the Welcome to Sashville shirt today, and I feel like that gave us some good luck with Philip Forsberg and his crazy two-point game. That goal was just amazing, the way he was able to fall down and still get it in. Yeah. But hey, we'll take it. And I would have loved to have done that in regulation, but at least with this team, it doesn't matter if they get an overtime at some point. I wish that Florida would have done their job in regulation, but you know, hey, we're 4 points ahead. We could possibly clinch on Wednesday. Just got to ride the wave. That's all we can do.
Got to ride the wave. I mean, that was I was legit worried in that third period when they tied it at 3. I was like, there was still 5 minutes left in the game, around 5 minutes left in regulation. And I was legit worried that we were about to lose this in regulation. And then I was seeing the scoreboard watching. I was seeing the Stars that tied it 4-4. And I'm like, this literally could not go more wrong right now. Like, this was bad. It was bad news for sure. The Preds were not playing well. It almost looked like they were sleepwalking through this game. It was not a good look at all. Rich, how do you give us your initial thoughts before we really get into episode 41.
I think we might actually.
We have lost Rich. Rich is frozen.
We have some technical difficulties, it looks like.
Yeah, Rich is frozen in time right now. So it's just me and Colin. Rich will join back in if he can. All right, so I'm sure Rich feels the same way as me and Colin, though. That was not a very pretty effort.
No.
I think the Preds played well in the second period, but that third period was awful.
And, it's not what we're used to either. Like, that third period's usually, you know what it felt like? It felt like the Chicago loss all over again. That's like, that was a feeling I had in my gut. It was like, oh, come on, here it goes. And, you know, that mental toughness, it speaks to that. But I think you're right when you said that, you know, it was kind of they were coasting. Like, it's almost like they expected to just go in there, get 2 points, and walk out. And you still got to play the game. Like, they still got some talented guys, you know, on that roster.
They really do.
They've been struggling. So, yeah, it was, it would have been nice to win a little bit easier, but we'll take it.
So let's talk about what we got in store for episode 41. This is Chad Minton with Colin Bluen. Hopefully Rich Howe can join back in. He's having some technical difficulties. But we're going to talk about this game and talk about the implications it has on the playoff race, because this playoff race just keeps getting tighter and tighter. And then we also are going to talk about this big deal going on with Pecorine, because everyone wants to see him get one more start. We don't know if it's his last game, it's his last season. It's very up in the air. He could come back for another season. We just don't know. And we all love Pecorine. We want to see him get one more start, maybe at Bridgestone Arena. But the way things are setting up, you still have to go with the right goaltender, and you still have to make the right decision to win games because the playoffs are on the line. So we got this segment lined up for you talking about Pecorine and what we think we should do when it comes to UC Saros and Pecorine, who gets the start over these last three games. We also didn't get a chance to touch on it in the last episode because it was such a packed episode, but we still have to talk about the deal that the NHL has made with Turner Sports and talk about the implications on that. Colin has a lot of knowledge on that, so he's going to talk about it a lot. We're going to get into really what this means for the future of the league. And then at the end of the episode, whenever you download the podcast on all major podcast platforms, I've talked about this guy a lot on the podcast. My roommate and best friend is a diehard Dallas Stars fan. It's perfect timing because the Dallas Stars and the Preds are fighting tooth and nail to get this playoff spot. And we brought him onto the podcast right after the Preds got that win over the Stars on Saturday night. And we brought him on to talk about how he sees the Preds rivalry and talk about how much he literally hates the Predators. Like, this guy literally cannot stand our team. So I brought him on. I brought him into enemy territory, and so that was a fun discussion. So make sure you go download the podcast tomorrow to check out that interview. But again, we are presented by DraftKings, and DraftKings is the top-rated sports book in America, and they've got an awesome deal going on for all new users right now. We've got a big boxing match coming up this weekend, and you can get 55-1 odds on in the main event if you pick the fighter to win. 55-1 odds. You win $55 on a $1 bet. All you got to do is pick the right fighter to win. So go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook up now and use promo code THPN when you sign up for a limited time. All new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering them the chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only new customers. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Please call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, please call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Go have fun with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can also bet on hockey, baseball, basketball. The playoffs are coming up. Daily fantasy. Use our promo code THPN. Get in on the action. Make it rain, as they say on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. All right, so let's get this episode rolling. Episode 41. I'm pumped. But I'm also feeling very fortunate right now, because I got to tell you, I was not feeling good about that game. I honestly wasn't even feeling good about the game going in. I felt like it was a trap game in every sense of the word. Yeah. And I just – Columbus is one of those really weird teams to figure out. Like, they should not be a last-place team. They should not. Like, they've got a lot of problems going on up in Columbus. They are – it's not like the Detroit Red Wings, where you can understand why they're where they are in the standings. The Columbus Blue Jackets completely crapped the bed this season. So I was worried about this game going in, because they – you know, it's hockey players. It's hockey teams. They still play hard. They love to play spoilers.
Well, yeah, especially with guys like Patrick Laine and Seth Jones. Like, it's a talented team that you would expect to do better. And they just – I mean – They've had flashes. I think that it's just been a failure to put it together. I'm not sure if that falls on Tortorella or someone else, but yeah, I know there's been some people that have some thoughts on Columbus. I know that there's kind of some I don't want to say drama, but I've seen reports out of just various grumblings of people that are former players and you know, even former staff that have not had some good feelings towards the management there and towards coaching. And so maybe that's finally kind of manifesting in what we see this season. But no, I mean, as far as a roster, like, you look at the roster, there's pieces that we would love to have on our team if we could have them. Especially with those two guys I mentioned before. Obviously, we had Seth Jones and gave him up for, you know, Ryan Johansson. But then, you know, guys like Patrick Laine and clearly like Bernstrom, he had a great night. I mean, a hat trick is nothing to sniff at. Yep. He pretty much was trying to will that team in. And, you know, with their firepower, it was really definitely a threat of, you know, they could have come back and win that in overtime if they'd have more possession. We kind of dominated and we kind of figured it out then. But you're right in the fact that it was definitely a trap game. I think coming off of you know, the Dallas overtime win was just crazy. And I know my Twitter's in our comments here, and he said that we wish we could have gone live after Saturday night's game. Mike, I was there. I would not have been able to go live because I would have no voice. We walked out of that arena with absolutely just, I mean, I was shouting my lungs out. It was amazing. But I think that after that high of that win, we kind of walked into this like, okay, well, we'll just, you know, do business as usual. And they made it tough on us. We should have dominated that game. We didn't. We won where it counted. But, you know, hopefully on Wednesday that Hines gets the guys right and gets them refocused so that they can do what they need to do and get the win.
Yeah. The way. By the way, Rich is back with us now. Rich Howe is no longer frozen in time. I really wish I could have screenshotted the way you froze.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
It was a really awesome like pose.
I'm sure it was.
I tossed it to you for a question about the thoughts on your game, and you weren't moving. I think the proper takeaway from Rich on this game is he's speechless.
Speechless.
That was the cutting edge analysis that Rich Howe had on the game, which honestly wouldn't be far off because I was pretty speechless as well. But now that we got Rich back, kind of give us your biggest takeaway from this game, man. I mean, yeah, we got the win. It's nice. 2 points or 2 points, but it did not come pretty, and they made us sweat it out for it.
The wheels just totally fell off. That's what I started to say before my stupid computer froze. And, you know, Columbus is a good team, but they're in the bottom of the division, and the Predators dominated. Well, I wouldn't say 100% dominated them, but – you know, you hold a 3-0 lead, and then if you lose that lead to a person who with Bernstrom who hasn't scored that much this season, can't happen. Because you know, if you get into the playoffs and you're playing Carolina. You can't allow that.
That formula that the Preds trotted out there tonight against Columbus, they will get swept by Carolina. They will not only get swept by Carolina, but they will probably get swept by Tampa Bay, and they will probably get swept by Florida. So you take the 2 points and you run with them. It's good.
Yep.
We've seen this team make adjustments in the past, so no one's saying we should be panicking necessarily. But at the same time, there is a lot of adjustments to be made after tonight's game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think we got refocused too. We've got way too much momentum going the right way. We've now seen this iteration of this team, you know, play better than what we saw tonight. I think Brad Richardson's still kind of working some things out, and I know that supposedly he fits better into the style of the team.
Richardson had a near goal tonight, though. He did. He was crashing the net.
He got close, and they said he's been playing, you know, more. It's more to his style of what we've been playing as of late. But you know, you want to see some other guys healthy too. I'd love to see Fabro back in the lineup. I mean, there's just a lot of things that we need to see. Hopefully, come up pretty soon. His penalty did suck. I think there were some fluky things too, especially in the end when that penalty for the delayed game was off of the deflection. I mean, there's not much you can do about that. You know, that's kind of
That was kind of bad luck. And then also everyone's kind of going in on Ryan Ellis right now, saying, oh, you scored on your own net. That was another crazy little pinball type of play. He had the right idea. He's trying to protect his goaltender. And sometimes the puck's just going to do what the puck wants to do. And I'm sure looking back on it, Ellis is like, man, that was tough. Like, I get it. Like, you want to pile in on the guy who scored on his own goaltender, but he had the right idea there. And I am the last person that's going to question what Ryan Ellis is doing defensively. I know that he can be a little overrated. I know people accuse him of being a little overrated. I'm looking at one of them.
Somebody, yeah, you might have somebody who would definitely question Ryan Ellis.
We're going to give this guy Colin a chance to do that. But I still think in that moment, it was kind of like, okay, these things happen. The puck was kind of, you know, flopping in the air there, and Ellis was trying to do the right thing, a reflex type of moment, and it was a little bit of a gaffe. Saros still made a lot of really spectacular saves tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't going up against an offensive juggernaut like Carolina or Florida, but he was still very sharp, made some really great saves. And so again, we're really having to lean on Saros to kind of carry us across the finish line.
Well, and even when you look at the goals tonight, like, they weren't really like one-timer type of situations. It was almost like Bernstrom had just so much time to shoot. I mean, he could line it up and then freeze Jussi, and I felt bad for him because it's like the defense just clear the puck, like get it off of his stick. He was so uncontested and at least two of the three goals. And as far as Ellis, you know, I will be the first one to be critical of Ellis, but he's not the first person that a goal will deflect off of, and he won't be the last. There will probably be one tonight or tomorrow night or someone else. I mean, it happens all the time. He was trying to get in position, and I mean, it wasn't there. There were a lot of other players that could have broken up that play before he even touched it.
Let's talk about it real quick.
I just want to say you have to give Bernstrom a little bit of credit because that one goal, the his second one, I think he shot the puck above UC Saros' head, and he had a space of about a foot to put it in there, and he nailed the shot. So it was a nice looking goal. I just
sometimes you just have to tip your caps and say, hey, that was a great goal.
Yeah,
nothing the goaltender could do about that. Let's talk about this overtime though. So going into overtime, the Preds have just shown in overtime they're just a different animal. Like, I mean, I think that's their 10th overtime win of the season. They've only lost two games in overtime, and just think about how fortunate. I don't want to say fortunate because that makes it seem like they're lucky, but just think about how much this team has benefited in the overtime this season. Think about where this team would be if they were even half of the overtime team that they were this season. They'd be 5 points. Just go ahead and subtract 5 points out of their record. Mm-hmm. They'd be five more overtime losses instead of five more wins. And suddenly the Stars would be ahead of the Preds right now, and the Preds would be in the Stars position right now. So it's just crazy how the Preds have come up in clutch moments time after time in overtime this season. It's crazy thing. Yeah. So breaking down that goal, though, that was a team effort goal. Mm-hmm, take anything away from Roman Josi, because that was a sniper. That was that's what captains do. They score when you need them to score. They come up big in big moments. But how about my guy? He's gradually becoming my guy on this show. Give me some pom-poms. Give me an Eric Holla jersey right now. I'm going to go ahead and order the two-day delivery on Amazon. I want it on my doorstep by Wednesday. Eric Holla is quickly becoming one of my favorite players on this team.
Some inside info for you real quick. I'm not sure if it still exists, but when I was at the game, the jerseys were buy one, get one free. So you might just want to slide into the national locker room and just pick you up.
There we go. I'm not going to go as far as say he's my favorite player on the team. No one's going to pass Pekka. Nobody's going to pass Forsberg, and nobody's going to pass Josi. But at the same time, Holla is one of those low-key players that I was dogging on early on in the season. I'll tell you right now, I was so critical of him. I was like, this is one of those wasted offseason moves. The guy's not producing for us. Why did we make this move? I would much rather have Colin Blackwell on this team or Craig Smith, and I would still rather have Craig Smith, truthfully.
But yeah, sure.
The same time, Eric Holla, he is making me eat some crow this season. He has really turned it on late. He had two shorthanded goal opportunities. The first one, I thought he mistimed it, and I just think maybe he could have – he wishes he could have that one back. The second shorthanded attempt, I thought it was just a good save. Mm-hmm. But he's breaking loose and he's aggressive and he is making things happen for the third line right now. So
I will say he's definitely
credit to Holla there.
And I'll own up, I will say he has definitely been in much better position as of late when he gets these close opportunities. It's been like a matter of just execution and like, can he finish it? But he's been doing well. I mean, he's gotten some points out of it the last couple of games, and so it's good to see him improve. That's what you need off of a guy that, you might not bring back next year, but if we're going to make a run, we're going to need him to be where he needs to be. But I will make the joke. I did a tweet out on the Catfish account. I wonder if Eric Holla and Steven Gostkowski are friends because they keep missing wide left just by a hair. So, but Holla, he's coming together.
Holla's got 5 points out of his last 6 games.
There we go. We'll take it. I need to see Tolvi get a power play goal, though. That's what I'm really missing.
Right.
I mean, there were some times where he was close, and he got some opportunities. They just give him the space he needs, and he hasn't been able to kind of locate it yet. But I think that's probably, when you go on injured reserve as long as he did, he probably needs to get back into form. But, man, I would love to see him round into form just the right time and start getting some power play goals for us again.
Yeah. So the Preds connected on the power play tonight, yep. I can tell you right now, it looks so much better. I know there were a couple power plays where it didn't look completely fluid, but I do think that the power play is showing a little bit more promise now that you've got Forsberg and Tolvanen back in there. I think Columbus just played a very safe defensive game at first, and so they weren't taking a lot of risk. And so the Preds just got to be a little bit better on the power play. But I do think it's still showing some improvement with Forsberg and Tolvanen back in, which is what you would expect. They did connect on the power play tonight. And so that was good to see. And the power play goal came from Ryan Johansson, actually. Johansson's another player who's really been stepping up his game. We've been really critical of these veterans over the season.
Very much so. Like,
the youth has stepped up and did their part. But we've been very critical of players like Johansson, Arvidsson, Duchesne.
Duchesne's a big one. And I'll say, going back to the Dallas game, I mean, we saw it in person. The guy has been setting up some beauties.
And he
it's a matter of guys just finishing.
We're kind of waiting for something. Because that's always been the type of player that Duchesne is. Duchesne's never been a big goal scorer. No. I don't know why everyone thinks he had. He never was. He's a dynamic possessor of the puck. He's got great stick handling ability. He's got great passing, great ice vision.
The dude's probably our best skater on the team. I mean, like there were two opportunities on Saturday night where he literally juked a guy out of his skates. I mean, it's just crazy.
And for the casual hockey fan, because hockey is a very complex sport, for the casual hockey fan, they don't necessarily see that stuff. It's no fault to them, but Duchesne does so much more than what shows up in the box score. And no one, no casual fan has time to go into all these analytics. It's you really got to be a diehard hockey whiz to dive into some of these analytics. But these analytics scream that Duchesne is a way better player than what some of these people are giving him credit for. Do we want him to start connecting more? And do we want him? Yeah, you still want to see the results and stuff. But you got to think that eventually his luck's going to turn around. And he still is making a good impact. He's on the third line. It's not like he's, you know, making a huge impact on the game. But he's still doing a lot of things well. I think he gets way more criticism than he probably should deserve. And a lot of that has to do also with his contract, which you can't blame Duchesne for his contract. You can blame David Poile all you want for the contract.
That's right.
Don't blame Duchesne for signing the check.
Yep.
You know, like that's how I feel about it, you know. So
I think Duchesne's probably got the ire of all the fans at the moment. So Johansson's been playing better. So now everybody just focuses
look
on
at this.
The next one down the
line. Look at this. Duchesne only logged 12 minutes and 55 seconds of ice time tonight. So yeah. If you're going to get mad about the Preds' effort, let's not focus on a player who didn't even play 13 minutes of ice time. I think collectively the team just got a little too relaxed and played a little bit weak in their own zone or in the defensive zone, and that's just what happened. So they still get the 2 points. They're now 4 points up on Dallas. Dallas ended up losing in overtime to Florida. So the Preds gained one more point on Dallas, and we were talking about this right before we went live. Really, the way it sets up is if the Preds can go ahead and get another 2 points against Columbus on Wednesday, Dallas has two games coming up on Tampa Bay against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is absolutely playing for a division title right now. So they have everything to play for, and Tampa owns Dallas this season. Dallas cannot figure out Tampa. And so you got to think that even if Dallas only loses one of those two games, and if the Preds can win tomorrow, you're putting yourself in a really good position here. But if the Preds turn around and lose to Columbus on Wednesday, then this thing's going to get really tight. You don't want to have to go into – you do not want to have to go into your last two games of the season being in a must-win scenario against the Carolina Hurricanes. You do not want that.
And that's the math right now with the 4 point spread between the two teams. If Nashville wins on Wednesday night against Columbus and Dallas loses against Tampa Bay, we're in. That's it. It doesn't even matter about the Carolina series. I mean, you still want to get one win in Carolina because you don't want to get swept on the season by them.
But we don't.
That's where it's at. We just gotta win one. They gotta lose one, and that's it. So.
Well, hopefully it'll happen on Wednesday.
And I'm one of those types that's saying I don't want to see the Preds back into the playoffs at all. Like, that's the last thing I want to see. But at the same time, I definitely don't want to have to go into Carolina feeling like we have to win those games, because I'm telling you right now, Carolina's our kryptonite. We'll deal with it. If that's our first-round playoff opponent, we'll deal with that when we have to deal with it. But at the same time, I definitely don't want to go into the last two games of the regular season having to earn our way into the playoffs by beating Carolina. I don't like those odds.
I'm kind of looking at it a little different. It's like, I don't want them to back in either, and I would definitely prefer them to have clinched already. But with how they were playing 2 months ago, I'll take pretty much anything to get them.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
and you've got that contingent of fans who are like, okay, good job, we made the playoffs. Who cares? Like, we've completely. We didn't take care of our long-term future by doing the right moves at the trade deadline. There's a lot of fans out there who feel that way. I'm not in that camp. You play to win. You want to win at all costs. I was one of those people who said that the Preds should have been more aggressive at the trade deadline, but they decided not to do that. But I kind of went back and did the math, and I shared this a couple of days ago. This was going into the Columbus game tonight, so the math changes a little bit after tonight. But going into the Columbus game, the Preds were on a little over a 91-point pace for a full 82-game season. If they were playing full 82 games, a little over 91 points. That's not great season, but it's not a horrible season either. That's kind of like usually when you're in that point range, you're right on the cusp of the playoffs, which is where they are, interestingly enough. But what I found very interesting was the season that the Preds went to the Stanley Cup, they finished with 94 points, got into the playoffs right at the end of the season. So the Preds are literally – this current Preds team is performing just slightly below that Stanley Cup team as far as point pace for an 82-game season. So I don't want to hear all this nonsense about, oh, well, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs, but we're going to get swept by Carolina anyway, so why does it matter? Well, of course it matters, because anything can happen.
Hey, you know what I mean? If there's teams that are complaining about or other teams saying something like that, hey, like if it's Dallas and they don't make it in, hey, you didn't make it in. We did. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we play, we all play 56 games. And at the end of the day, like it's going to be done. When it's all said and done, we're going to either be ahead in the points or we're not going to be there. So, yeah, it's kind of your mic drop right there. But I mean, for me, like if we're talking about like, you know, your ideal opponents in the first round, I'm kind of hoping Florida makes a comeback. And we see Florida first. It's probably not
you've
likely.
You've been saying that for a while, but this past two games had me almost even more nervous about playing Florida because
they're the one team we can beat. We can beat them though.
You're right.
And full strength. It's not a situation like Tampa Bay where we can only beat their secondary goaltender. It's not a situation like Carolina where we've yet to beat them. Like,
I think we're picking
our poison. Them at full strength.
I think we're kind of picking our poison right now.
Well, they have had success. They have had success against Florida, but like the last time they played them, though, it was another one of those games where they were playing really well and then the wheels fell off. And that's the result of what happens when the wheels fall off against a really good team.
I mean, how crazy would it be, though, too? Because, I mean, you look at the narrative of like 2016, 2017, like the Blackhawks, they were President Trophy winners, weren't they that year, I believe? Or at least they were number one in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they were prohibitive favorites to crush us. We had no chance.
We swept them, and we didn't look good against them really in the regular season either, and we swept them. And so it would be awesome if we get done with the regular season. Carolina, it is what it is. Maybe we get one win out of that, but people are saying we're going to get crushed by Carolina, and we go in there and we do what we could possibly do. That would be fun to see. That would be a great way. I mean, if we lose in the second round, we lose in the second round, but I would love to get a first round victory over Carolina just because everybody's doubting us. Like, you know, it doesn't even really matter who our first round opponent is. Everybody already doubts us, but I would love to make some people, eat their words.
How far into the playoffs do they need to get before Hines starts getting some kudos and some credit for turning the team around?
I already think he's getting a little bit of a credit, but also I think that some people are a little pushed back to give him too much credit because let's be honest, Soros is a major factor into why we are where we are. Right. And it's not so much, the team has done some good things. They've scored some big goals. They've come together and made some things happen. The youth has absolutely been a great thing to see. But a big part of this is Soros playing like a Vezina Trophy goaltender. And even Adam Vinion came out and wrote a piece talking about how Soros deserves Hart Trophy love.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how much does that have to do with John Hines? I don't know. But
I'll give him the respectful call. Listen, I've been very critical of John Hines, and even I'll give him the respectful golf clap if we can at least get in the playoffs. Considering where we started, and I mean, you guys remember we lost some facial hair over it. Considering where we started and how it turned around, all credit to the team and to him for being able to navigate this and get us through it.
So if they make it, if they wind up making it into the second round, do you think he deserves any of the Jack Adams Award?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. No.
They were on the brink of getting rebuilt.
But isn't that a regular season award though?
Yeah.
I guess I get where you're going with it. If the Preds make the second round and they upset the Hurricanes or any of those three teams, and then they get knocked out in the second round. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be doing cartwheels on Broadway right outside of Bridgestone Arena.
We're probably going to give Hines a contract extension, and that's what I'm not sold on yet.
But let's not even go there yet.
Let's get in first. Let's get in.
We'll save this discussion for when the Preds actually lock it up. Because I feel like we're already jinxing ourselves right now by getting this deep into it.
I was going to say, if the Preds lock it up, let's knock on wood right now. Good vibes. We're still vibing. Yeah.
That's why I don't even want to break down a first-round series against one of these teams yet because we could be, like, wasting air right now. We could be wasting oxygen talking about it. But, all right, but I do have something to say here. Another reason, this is going to take us into our next segment. This is episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice podcast with Chad Benton, Colin Bluen, and Rich Howe. Rich Howe is no longer frozen. He is back with us, and he is ready to spew a lot of talk about this topic, and that is Pecorine. We've been waiting to see him maybe get a spot start. We know he's the backup. He should be the backup. But we've been waiting for him to get this spot start, and it just hasn't lined up. It's just been – a lot of people thought that Rene should have gotten a start against Florida. Didn't happen. I am kind of on both sides of the fence on this right now. And the reason why I am is because I – Saros is legit the best goaltender in the league right now as far as how he's played since his injury, since he came back from injury in early March. And so – or in mid-March, I should say. And so – you have to ride the hot goaltender because basically every game the Preds are playing right now is a playoff game. So you can't start Rene just because, hey, your legacy, we owe it to you, which you do owe it to him. But at the same time, it's about winning right now. And I know Pecorine understands that. I'm not worried about how – I know he doesn't have hurt feelings, that he is as classy comes. He wants to see the Preds win, even if that means he's not playing.
I think it makes it easy, though, too. I think if, like, the situation with the scenario with Wednesday. So let's say we win Wednesday, Dallas loses, we're clinched, we're good to go. At that point, for me, it's really short and sweet. I think that Pecorine, you start him at the very least. You start him at the last game of the season against Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's our last home game. Like, you let the fans have that. You let Pecorine have that because you don't know.
I think you start him both games.
I'd be cool with that too. Honestly, I mean, we can't lose sight of the fact that before UC got back, Pekka was playing some solid goaltending in net for us. He really kept us kind of primed for that road trip and the run that we went on after that road trip to be able to do what we did. So I mean, it's obviously you can always do worse to have someone like Pecorine as your backup.
But absolutely,
if we clinch Wednesday, I think you give it to him. To start the series and you let UC rest up a little bit and just kind of make sure he's healthy and ready to go for a playoff run. If we don't clinch on Wednesday, you play him.
I don't know. I don't even know if it depends on when they clinch. If they don't have it clinched, I think Saros starts every game until it's clinched.
You have to.
Have to. And that hurts me to say that, but I don't think you can start Rene over Saros if the playoffs are still on the line. I don't think you can do it. First of all, I think that would be a disservice to Saros, who got you here. That would be kind of a slap in the face. Like, hey, you carried us here. Now we're going to take you out in the biggest moment when we need you. That's just working backwards. So it's a tough situation to be in. So that's why we would really just like to clinch so that we don't have to worry about this. And then Rene can hopefully go out there and play loose and play fun, get the standing ovation he deserves from the Bridgestone Arena crowd. And then we'll see what happens. Maybe he comes back next season. I'm leaning towards it's not going to happen, but we'll see. I don't know.
Who knows? You just don't know.
He's I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, and we never know if Larry Fitzgerald's ever going to come back. It's always like the big question of the year is like, is Larry finally retiring?
That's a really good comparison.
Yeah, because it's just if he retired. Nobody would fault him for it. He has done it. He has worn the jersey and worn it with pride, and he belongs, in our Ring of Honor and whatever equivalent we have for that because we don't have anybody there yet. But it's one of those things where if he does it, like nobody's going to question it. But at the same time, if he comes back, we're also not going to question that either because, I mean, he was 3-2 before UC came back. I mean, he was still playing some very solid hockey for us. Yeah, I think if you don't clinch, then you don't start him. But if we clinched, I mean, go ahead and give him the starts.
If they don't clinch on Wednesday, there's 2 days off before they have to play Carolina on Saturday. So that would be a good rest for Saros if he has to wind up playing on Saturday.
That's
so
true. And you got to think too. Saros is young; he's built for this right now. So this whole talk about we're wearing out Saros, I don't really buy into that necessarily, but I do think that it's one of those situations where it's just we're in playoff mode right now. Like, I know we're not in the playoffs, but it feels like playoff hockey. You're playing for your playoff lives right now. nothing is for sure right now. Nothing's locked in. I think it would be a slap in the face to Saros if you pulled him out to start Rene when if the playoffs are still on the line. That just doesn't make sense to me. And so, and I think Rene would feel the same way. I mean, I see Rene as the type, as a mentor type of player who has absolutely watched Saros grow up and turn into this Vezina caliber goaltender. And I can guarantee you there's no one happier in that locker room for Saros' success than Pecorine right now. And I mean, so and
that's his countryman too. Like that's the, and people always make the joke of father and son, but like that's his countryman. If anybody, if he wants to see anybody succeed after him, it's going to be someone that shares that with him. So
yeah,
that's special.
So let's hope that that decision doesn't have to be made and Rene can, I would love to see him get the last two starts of the season.
I'd love to see him come back and play next year to have one full last full season in front of fans.
So I'd love to see him come back next year. I'd love to see him also get two wins.
Well, let's talk about that. Right. Let's kind of talk about that. So I'm not trying to sound like the devil's advocate here, but are we 100% sure that the Preds will bring him back? With Connor Ingram?
Connor Ingram, we have locked up for another year, don't we?
I'm not sure. How do we know that the Preds don't think that Connor Ingram's ready to make that next jump into the NHL?
I mean, there's a lot of personal things of
navigating. It's a business decision. It's a business. And as much as Pecorine is your guy and you don't want to see him retire in another uniform, that would be the worst.
I find it hard to believe he would not bring him back on a team-friendly, player-friendly deal just because that feels like the type of player he is. I mean, he even took a cut to kind of stay here anyways. And so I feel like he would do that again if he wanted one more year. Kind of goes back to like the Larry Fitzgerald treatment of like Larry Fitzgerald always takes team-friendly deals to come back one more year. He's been playing on contract extension for like a decade now, I feel like. But with Connor Ingram, I mean, Connor Ingram, the question mark there is he's only seen very limited time in the AHL and really barely any time on the taxi squad this season. He's got some rust to shake off still, even watching some of the stuff that I watched the other night with him when he was starting for the Wolves finally. But, you know, I think that Connor Ingram, I think, is locked in for another year, I believe. If not, I believe he's an RFA. But either way, you know, if Pecorine wants to come back, you bring Pecorine back. Like, I just feel like that's what you have to do. Even if Ingram's ready, Ingram's not going to go anywhere. If Ingram wants to go somewhere, I'm sure there are other teams that might take him, and that'd be okay. But like, you gotta let Pekka.
So it kind of comes down to what does Pecorine want to do? Honestly, that's really where we're at right now, and we don't know that. And he doesn't have to tell us how he feels. That he can make that decision when he's ready. But it's been awesome to see Rene be so such a big part of the team still, though. Like after the win against the Stars on Saturday night, and Colin, I know you were at the game, so you got to see it. You got to be in the building and see it. I don't know if you saw it either in person or if you saw it later, but you know the team did their stick raises at mid ice, which they've always done, and then Rene skated out and was hugging the players. He's like the elderly father figure of the team, and he's out there, you know, patting his guys on the back.
The bear hug he put on UC Saros, it's a beautiful thing to see. He's a good dude. I mean, that's the thing is like Pecorine, he's the first guy that we've ever given a no trade clause to. We had to kind of go back to that. And I think that's the same way you look at it, you know, whatever his future is. You let him dictate his future because he's earned that much. But you won't find a better dude. I mean, he's just also, I will say, let me go back to it though. They were doing a warm up drill. And Pecorine is in net, and basically you have all, like, I think it was eight forwards. They're rotating eight forwards in, eight forwards out, and they're just trying to slam pucks towards the net. And Pekka still looked really sharp. So I'm just saying, like, if he wants to come back, but
it kind of makes sense to bring him back. You know, like like we said, like if there is any kind of question about Connor Ingram, then what better person to have as a backup than Pecorine? I mean, like that's just a no brainer to me. But
yeah, absolutely
depends on if he wants to come back, like you said.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I wanted to share one really, really cool stat that Bally Sports South shared before the game tonight. UC Saros has 14 career shutouts now, which is the most by any player his age or younger.
I saw that.
So that's pretty cool. So, So, yeah, so the Preds, they are set in goaltender for right now, it appears, but they have some tough decisions to make, even in the short term. Even in these last three games, the Preds have some tough decisions to make when it comes to what they're going to do. Do they just keep riding UC Saros over these last three games, or do they put Pecorino in there? Winning on Wednesday against Columbus will solve a lot of that, but we'll have to wait and see with that.
And again, this – Tampa Bay needs to do their job.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
So this is episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice podcast, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are presented by DraftKings. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, and use our promo code THPN to get on the hockey action, baseball, basketball. We got the boxing match coming up, and you can get 55-1 odds this weekend if you bet on the main event. And your fighter wins, you win $55 on a $1 bet. So pretty awesome deal there. Let's talk about the Turner Sports deal that we've got that happened. Some really big news there. Turner Sports, of course, is really known for their NBA coverage. They do outstanding work for their NBA coverage.
Emmy award winning.
Yes. And the thing about TNT and the thing about Turner Sports is you're going to be getting – what we really want to see for the NHL, and Colin's going to really expand on this, is we really want to see the sport grow. Like, the NHL is such a niche sport still, where fans who are diehard hockey fans, it's great. It feels like this tight-knit community. You love it. Whenever I'm out at a sports bar and a hockey fan sits next to me and we start talking hockey, it's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. But we want the sport to grow. We want more eyes to see this beautiful sport. And that's what I kind of see out of this deal. And so, Colin, kind of talk about the big parts of it and just kind of how you feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes the NHL a major player in North America and kind of solidifies where their position is. So there's a number of facets to consider here. You have the financial aspect of it. That's a big one because this is basically a $200 million deal on top of the $400 million deal they got with ESPN. For context, that's with the original deal with NBC Sports was $200 million, and that was it. So we've increased the revenue just from broadcasting alone by 300%. That's crazy. I mean, the numbers financially, it's going to impact franchises. Salary caps are going to go up. I mean, people, you know, we've been talking about how some franchises are going to be in the red because of COVID. This will pull a franchise out of the red. This will pull the league out of the red by next year. I mean, and we'll probably start seeing the dividends by the 2022-2023 offseason. And we're going to see the salary cap increase and then as well as some additional talent being brought to teams that are smaller market teams like the Nashville Predators because they have more money to spend and they've already got players like Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, some of these other guys locked into the contracts they're in where those contracts are going to be – the context is going to change a lot because of the financial aspect of it. But on top of that, when you talk about growing the brand, you know, hockey in North America is the fastest growing sport between 18 and 29-year-olds in viewership. So it's not that people don't want to watch it. They want to watch it. They want to see an entertaining product on the ice. And so what better way to do that than, first, the worldwide leader in sports, which, I mean, that can't be understated. But then to take it over to TNT, TBS, those networks where they know what it takes to create sports personalities and really put those people at the forefront. You look at Inside the NBA, and something like that for the NHL could be amazing. I mean, it would be awesome to see a hockey personality like PK Subban, whenever he hangs up the skates, seeing him give some commentary, seeing some of these other colorful NHL players give some commentary, not the Wayne Gretzky's. I'm sorry. Wayne Gretzky tried some commentary back in the day was not a very interesting guy. Great hockey player, not a great broadcaster. Yeah. But seeing some of these other players that are close to retirement, I don't know if you put Chara on there yet, but you know, a lot of these other guys are close to retirement. They're going to be looking for careers afterwards, like a Matt Duchene, even who wants to get into.
So let's.
That's huge. So it's that. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I was going to say that the next piece is just where it solidifies us in terms of the branding, because you look at how much the NHL brand has grown in terms of going from CCM to Reebok to now Adidas, which is a major from a retail brand, is huge. The NHL is now the only North American league sport or North American major sport that is not a Nike league just yet. In 6 years, I see the NHL, if they're successful with ESPN and Turner Sports, becoming a Nike sport as far as a major sport, which would be huge in terms of that revenue from them, because Nike just, they can generate more revenue than Adidas can. And I will say, I do own a Nike hockey jersey, and they are a little bit more comfortable than the Adidas. So it would be an upgrade. There I'm just go. Saying. So,
well, I'm just glad. Like, I'm not, like, it's awesome. I'm so ready for the sport to grow, but I'm so glad that NBC won't have anything to do with it anymore.
Oh, I'm
like, that is like the worst ever. Yeah. Watching a hockey, especially watching a Predators game when they were covering the Predators and the Blackhawks games.
It was
Blackhawks are losing like 3-0, and they're like talking about how awesome the Blackhawks are. And I'm like, they're losing the game to the Predators. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, talk about that.
Yeah. But it was seven years of woof.
So one thing I really like about this Switch is I think that this new Switch is really going to give the NHL a new, kind of a new image almost, like, because it's kind of been looked at as a, it's always been looked at as a niche sport. And I can tell you, like, when I go out and I'm into a Preds game and I'm around people who, I've even got really close friends who want to get into hockey. They want to learn more about it. And they ask a ton of questions when they're sitting with me. And I try to explain it to them. They're like, man, this is a really cool sport. You've got to get this beautiful sport in front of more people. You got to market yourself better. The NHL has never been good at marketing themselves. All you got to do is look at how they schedule games. They schedule all these critical games at the same time on a Tuesday night or whatever it is during the week. And it's like, these are all playoff implication type games, and you can't watch them all at once, because hockey, you cannot watch multiple games at once.
No.
Hockey, you cannot be flipping channels back and forth. It's impossible. The game moves too
never
fast.
Stops. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's not like baseball where it's like, okay, I can flip back and forth or whatever. Like, no, or even football, you can do that a little bit, but hockey, it's impossible. So they've got to start staggering these times, but that's going to a different thing. But what I'm saying is hockey's never been good at marketing themselves. I think this is great.
Well, and the thing is, like, the players are very good at marketing themselves. You look at some of the, especially the young guys. Now we're getting into the millennial generation hockey players.
Yeah.
Really in the thick of it. Evgeny Malkin, like, you look at the Instagram game of some of these guys, and it's strong. Like, they're good at marketing. It's just that they need a league that's going to market them.
And the league is getting a lot of good superstars coming up right now. I mean, the league's got a ton of very marketable superstars that young kids can gravitate towards. And it's Phil Forsberg's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some superstars, but they also have some guys that are we're in this like weird time where we're getting some guys that are retiring that would be very fun personalities. Like, you think about like your Scott Hartnells, you think about guys that might be close, like Alex Ovechkin. I'm sorry, but after seeing how he celebrated the Stanley Cup, I would love just to hear Alex Ovechkin's thoughts on
Wait a minute. You don't want Charles Barkley to be the number one NHL analyst?
I feel like Alex Ovechkin might be the NHL's version of Charles Barkley if it's all said and done.
You
let him do his thing.
Rumor has it that Charles Barkley is actually a pretty big hockey fan.
Shaquille O'Neal knows exactly who Roman Josi is. So
yeah, I mean, but
did anybody see the clip where they quizzed Shaq on the post-game show? It was an NBA post-game show, and they asked him to name three teams in the NHL, and he called the LA Kings the California Kings. Like, I'm sorry, Shaq. I love Shaq. I love that whole TNT NBA crew. Like, I'm not even the biggest NBA fan, but I love watching their halftime. They're hilarious. That's what the NHL needs. You got to hope that they can find –
good personalities.
If they can find a group of personalities that can do exactly what they're doing for the NBA on TNT, you're going to build so many new fans.
Well, and what makes this deal great is it's not an exclusive rights like it was with NBC. So you have ESPN and you have Turner, and the two of those are going to push each other, because ESPN, we know, they're going to have Barry Melrose. Barry Melrose is a staple from an entertainment standpoint. He is a very entertaining hockey analyst.
He's a little hard on the Preds, though.
He's a little hard on the Preds.
I feel like Melrose never pays attention to the Preds.
We haven't really seen him, though, since the 2017 Cup run. True. So he might be able to sing a little more praises to us. Since
I do like Melrose. I do like Melrose.
But TNT is going to have to find a similar cast, and really ESPN's investing more in terms of it's not just going to be Barry Melrose. They're going to get other people, too. So I'm hoping that the two of those deals really may push each other to compete for the entertainment quality much as everything else.
You know who I'd really love to see? He's already doing hockey analysis for NHL Network, and that's Kevin Weeks. Kevin Weeks. I love Kevin Weeks on NHL Network. If they could move him into the TNT slot, that would be awesome. I think there's a lot of people out there who are already doing work for the NHL for other networks that they could also cherry pick, and they could build like a super team almost. And so Kevin Weeks is one that jumps out to me that I really enjoy.
I bet you're probably going to see some of the NBC Sports people though.
So I was actually just about to say, I need two things. I need a shots on goal counter from ESPN mm-hmm. and from Turner, and I need nobody to touch Mike Milbury. Leave him in the ether. Do not let him broadcast anymore.
For me. I don't know.
They won't. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I think that this new deal with ESPN and Turner, they're going to try to put their own flavor on it. I don't think they're going to try to be old school. I don't think it would be smart for them to do that. I think if you can't move it to different networks but still be the same thing. That's just dumb.
Like, I was thinking more of like Kaplan and
you got to put your own spin on it.
Yeah.
Who were you saying, Rich?
I was thinking more like Catherine Tappan and Sharp. Emily. What's his name? Sharp played for Chicago.
Well, ESPN already has some pretty good people who are doing the writing part of it. I really like Emily Kaplan. I thought that's
your thing.
Emily Kaplan does some awesome NHL coverage for ESPN. And so I think they got some people to go with here. You know, ESPN's going to pull out all the stops on this.
They got some people. I think one player that might be a soon-to-be former player that would be another one is Ryan Miller. I think he has some awesome perspective.
Okay.
And he's a fun guy off the ice. I just think if you bring in someone like Mike Milbury, like, you're going to turn fans off immediately. Like,
that's don't do that.
That's going to take away your credibility if you bring him back from the day.
And it might hurt your credibility with the younger fans because they're like, who is this guy?
He's the same guy that, he's a homer. Not even a homer. It's like a just like get off my lawn type hockey guy. You don't want that guy when you have so much. There's so much room here for some good growth. So fingers crossed they do it right.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Maybe they could once.
Awesome.
They
do, all right. So
maybe they could get Lucas Pisa to be a color commentator.
All right, Rich. You got your one Lucas Pisa plug in.
Not a work too much.
You got it right in.
He'll get a five minute segment the very first game of the season, and then we'll never see him again.
We'll never see him again. He'll just keep writing the check, signing the check.
I think we all agree, though, it's a really good thing for the NHL, and we're excited to see how this is going to go on and what kind of coverage the NHL is going to get on a national level. Hopefully, they'll start featuring some of their other teams in the league instead of always focusing on the same crappy teams that aren't that good. Like, can we start putting some effort? If you want to build new fans, one thing you need to do is stop showing the same damn six teams on national TV every Tuesday night.
They want to show those original six, and they're really high on.
I know they got to break away from that.
They don't even show all the other ones though. It's mainly just Chicago and Pittsburgh.
They got to go with the NHL's marketing plan because you look at they're putting teams in Seattle, Vegas. Yeah. I mean, they're putting teams in interesting places that they're going to have to focus on, and those teams are going to be successful. I guarantee you Seattle will probably be a playoff contender. Vegas is going to be a playoff contender.
Seattle coming into the league is going to make things interesting as well. So, all right. So that's a really good discussion there, and we're going to be keeping our eyes on that for sure. And so this is episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice podcast that you've been listening to. This is Chad Minton with Rich Howell, Colin Bluen. Coming up next on the podcast, we've got Clayton Stewart, who's my good friend, my roommate, and he's a diehard Dallas Stars fan, but he's also got a wealth of hockey knowledge. He's also a Nashville musician. Go check out his music at Clayton Stewart Music on Instagram. You won't be upset about that because I can tell you this guy is a very talented musician, but he's also a Dallas Stars fan. And so we invited him to the podcast, had a really good discussion. He can't stand the Nashville Predators. And so I had to go ahead and interrogate this guy, put him on the stand, and figure out why the hell he doesn't like the Preds. We talked about the rivalry. We talked about the crazy game that happened on Saturday night. So that's coming up next on the podcast. This is episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice podcast. Presented by DraftKings and part of the Hockey Podcast. And we're back for episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings. And, of course, we are part of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chad Mitten, your host, and we've got an enemy joining the home turf tonight. We've got a Dallas Stars fan. Womp womp. Dallas Stars fan is joining the show, and it's not just any Dallas Stars fan. This is my best friend, my brother. Not my true brother, but a brother in a sense.
Indeed.
A fellow Dallas Stars fan. I don't know how I could ever be a Dallas friends with a Dallas Stars fan, but here we are. We just got done watching that crazy, crazy brawl. This is Clayton Stewart joining the podcast. Diehard Dallas Stars fan. Also, very well-known dislike for the Nashville Predators. So how perfect is this that we're going to bring him on for episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice Podcast? Clayton, how are you doing tonight, man?
Been better, but doing okay.
I'm sure.
Doing okay. Saturday was rough.
You seem to be holding up okay there.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I'll be okay.
All right. So I think Clayton probably agrees with me here. I think you probably agree with me, man, that this Dallas Stars Nashville Predators rivalry is quickly growing into something pretty intense. I think we saw it on Saturday night for sure. I think we've seen it in the Winter Classic. I think we even saw it in the 2019 first round playoff series. And before we really get into where your Dallas Stars fandom started, I'm going to throw this crazy stat out there for all of our podcast listeners, just to show you how close this all-time series is between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. The all-time series record for the Predators against the Stars after Saturday night's 1-0 overtime win over the Stars is 45 wins, 45 losses, one tie, and five overtime losses. That's the Preds record all-time against the Dallas Stars. 45 wins, 45 losses, one overtime or one tie, five overtime losses for a point percentage of literally 50%. Does not get more even than that. If you look at it from the Stars' perspective, they are 50 wins, 35 losses, one tie, 10 overtime losses, and of course, five of those are on this current season. So how can you get that much closer of an all-time series against between two teams with that many games? Pretty crazy.
It is crazy. And the funny thing is the rivalry seems that it's a new thing, a newer thing.
It is. It is kind of a new rivalry.
The rivalry is, but the competitive nature and how these teams play each other evidently has always been really evenly matched. So I think the rivalry was starting, it was budding, but now the hate's starting to creep in.
It definitely is. It's like we saw it on Saturday night. That was just a crazy game. Let's talk about the game first. The game was just back and forth. Neither team's giving an inch. Lots of really sound defensive hockey. Outstanding goaltending from Anton Khudobin and Juuse Saros. Both teams had plenty of opportunities to break open the scoring. And I can tell you it was one of the most nervous feelings I've ever had watching a regular season hockey game. I don't know about you, man.
Honestly, to me, this was a playoff game.
Oh, it was like a play-in game.
Yeah, it felt like a playoff game. And they played that way. I mean, it was an intense – I mean, neither team played poorly. It wasn't like one team was, you know, down and the other. Like, it was back and forth. Good hockey. Great goaltending, like you said. So it's just the same thing.
I've actually got to tip my cap to the referees. Maybe Stars fans, maybe you might disagree with me because of a late penalty call in that game. But I thought for the most part, the refs actually let the players play. There were plenty of moments in this game on both sides that I thought the arm was going to come up and a penalty was going to be called. And the referees really let this game be the physical type of game that it needed to be. And they could have called this game ticky-tack, and it would have been a parade to the penalty box for both teams because this was a physical game. This was a brawler type of game. And the refs, to their credit, I'm definitely happy about it. I think even if you're a Stars fan, you should be somewhat happy about it, even though you did come off on the losing end. Still, it's nice to see the refs let the players play. They called it pretty consistent. There was a late penalty that the Stars got tagged for where Roman Josi drew the penalty on a hook,
that was, you know, there's some Stars fans out there that aren't happy about the call. And I'm sure if it was flipped around, there'd be Preds fans out there saying the same thing. It was a close call, but, and it did shift momentum in overtime, but be that as it may, it was a great game. Win or lose, it was a great game.
It was.
But I got to ask you now, where did your Dallas Stars fandom start? I got to be honest, when the Stars come to town and play the Preds, I don't usually see a ton of Stars fans out here. I'm not saying that there's not diehard Stars fans out there. Of course there are, and those are some of the best fans, the fans that aren't bandwagon jumpers. And I know there's plenty of Stars fans out there that aren't bandwagon jumpers. They're some of the most passionate fans you'll ever meet. You're one of them. And so I really just want to know how it all started for you, being a Dallas Stars fan.
For me, it was 1993. I remember because my dad got tickets from his job, and we didn't know anything about hockey at that time. It didn't matter. And we went, and it was my first live game I've ever seen. And then not even a week later, I had my first hockey stick, first skates, and I was playing and just became obsessed with the sport, obsessed with the Stars. And so I've, 1993 changed everything for me as far as sports. Yeah, I love my Dallas Stars. Go Stars.
And the Dallas Stars had those teams with Mike Modano and Brett Hull. And I know you can list more and more players. And that was when the Preds were just become – they weren't even – they were – inaugural season was 1998. So there's a lot of, you know, diehard Preds fans that might not have even been watching the NHL at that time when the Stars were really that great of a team. And the Stars have had good teams since then, too.
They have.
It's not like they've been scrubs by any means. And you just went to the Stanley Cup last year. So you're a very respected franchise in your own right, you know.
Well, in 2008, we went to the semifinals and lost to the Red Wings, who ultimately won the Stanley Cup. And then 2019, we went to seven games in double overtime and lost to the Blues, who also won the Cup. And then last year, we went to the Cup and came back short. So we've been present. I won't say always relevant, but we've been present.
But you've got that Stanley Cup that Preds fans dream about. We dream about a Stanley Cup parade on Lower Broadway. And as crazy as Lower Broadway is right now, maybe we don't need a Stanley Cup parade right now. But so you got that cup under your belt, and that's the one thing that every fan base just wants, even if it's just one of them. And that's why Preds fans get so intense at games. And that kind of leads me to your thoughts on why you kind of dislike the Preds, where that was born. Because I gotta tell all of our listeners listening right now, this guy genuinely does not like the Nashville Predators. He's made it very clear to me plenty of times, and I tried my best to be a very humble fan on Saturday night. Didn't rub it in his face. I think I was very respectable in that. You should give me some credit for that because I wanted to.
I know you wanted.
I wanted to blow up your phone so bad when Eric Halla got that overtime winner. But I can't beat my chest too much because all five times we've beaten you guys, it's taken overtime. We haven't beaten you one time in regulation. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen to play a team eight times in one season, beat them five times, and all five times it took overtime or a shootout to win. So yeah. you literally got points in every game you played against us.
We did, it doesn't help my hatred for the Predators at all.
No, I'm sure it does.
Like I've told you before, you know, that hatred didn't start until I moved here, you know. So I wanted the Predators to be like my second team. Like if Stars don't do well, I can cheer for them, and I just can't. And
it's okay. We don't need you.
It's fine. I don't want to be a part of the pack. I showed up and I came.
You know who can't buy a Welcome to Stashville T-shirt, official podcast T-shirt? They're not for sale for you, sir.
That's fine. I got better money to spend.
I do have photo evidence of this guy wearing a Predline shirt, and I will share it on social media.
That's out of solidarity.
And it's not a very glamorous picture of you.
That's out of solidarity. out of solidarity, trying to be supportive of you.
Trying.
But when I showed up to my first away game in my Dallas Stars sweater, my hat, my lanyard, the whole thing, I have a specific uniform, if you will, when I'm watching the Stars play. The crowd was just so hostile. I remember I've sat in right. Cell Block 303 wearing all my Stars gear. And well, let me tell you, that's a rivetingly...
You did it to yourself, man. You should have known better.
Well, there were free tickets, so I did it anyways. But yeah, I don't like the Preds.
That's part of the fun of it, though, isn't it? Going to an away game and being decked out in your gear on the road. I think that's the joy of it. Like, it's not nearly on the same level, but my story of that is when I went to Columbus, and no way is Columbus a rival of ours, or we're not a rival of theirs either. But I went to Columbus one time by myself on a solo trip, decked out in Preds gear, and walked into this bar right outside the Columbus Blue Jackets arena. And half the bar was filled with like guys in business suits. The other half was filled with Blue Jackets fans in their gear, and I'm the one Preds guy packing into this bar, and I swear everyone stopped and looked at me, trying to fit my way to the bar top to order a drink. They're all these bartenders are walking past me. I'm like, oh, okay, I know the game. I'm wearing the Preds jersey. Turns out they told me that the reason why I was probably getting a lot of bad stares wasn't because I was wearing a Preds jersey. I was wearing University of Michigan colors, and I was in Ohio State country, Columbus, Ohio. They didn't even care about the Preds. They were like, oh, yeah, we're playing you guys tonight. No big deal. We're so sorry. Here, have a drink on me. They didn't even care that I was a Preds fan, even though the game was about to start in 15 minutes right across the street. They thought I was wearing Michigan Wolverines colors.
See, my experience was very different.
They were actually friendly. These Columbus Blue Jackets fans couldn't have been more friendly.
I remember I went to a game here in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena wearing my jersey, and it went to overtime, which apparently just seems to be a trend.
Yeah, that's the theme.
And then during overtime, at the time, we had Cody Eakin.
Okay.
And there was a tripping call that resulted in a penalty shot. And so I can't sit down during this moment, so I stand up and I stand in the aisle, so I'm not in anybody's way. Cody Eakin sinks it, game over, and out of nowhere, I kid you not, a 70-plus-year-old woman hits me over the back with her cane immediately. And I turned around, and I looked at her. I go, did you see that? And then I realized I was talking trash to a 70-year-old woman. And so I had to check myself. But that is
– was she decked out in a Preds jersey?
All Preds.
What was the player she was wearing? I really got to know.
I don't –
that's vital information.
I didn't even want to look at her.
Maybe. All right. That's actually pretty – okay, I'm glad you're okay, but –
yeah, I made it through.
That's still kind of a funny story.
I made it through the geriatric attack.
That's still kind of a funny story. All right, if that 70-year-old woman is listening right now, please let us know if that really happened. I don't know.
It happened. I'm not making it up.
All right, we are crazy. Preds fans are definitely crazy, but it's okay. All right, I'm going to test your Stars fandom here. I do this to my fellow co-hosts, Rich Howe and Colin Bloom, all the time. I like to give them these trivia questions, and they hate me for it, and I have fun with it. So I'm going to do – what better time than to do it to a Stars fan? I'm going to test – this is a question that I feel like the most diehard Stars fan might know, but it's definitely a hard question. All right?
Okay.
Here it goes. It's multiple choice. I'm giving you that at least.
Okay.
Which team does the Stars have the most wins versus all time?
Hold on. Can I try to answer first?
No,
I'll do the multiple choice.
All right. A, Detroit. B, Los Angeles. C, St. Louis. D, Anaheim. Most wins all time against this team. Overtime and regulation. Come on, man. There might be Stars.
I'm between two.
Who do you got it between?
I'm between Detroit and Anaheim.
Okay.
I'm going to say Detroit. What was it?
It's actually the Los Angeles Kings.
Really?
You got 117 wins against the Los Angeles Kings. You've got 115 wins against the Detroit Red Wings.
See, I thought it was Detroit.
That's a good guess. You've got 114 wins against the St. Louis Blues and only 75 wins against the Ducks. But that was a tough question.
I thought it was Detroit.
Trivia is fun for me. All right. Got that one. All right. So now let's talk about this. How do you feel? Where do you see this Preds-Stars rivalry going? Do you think it actually has some legs behind it, or do you think it's just kind of like one of those, like, it's a rivalry for now, but it's not going to – because I got to say that I still think that our biggest rivals are going to be the Blackhawks, the Blues, and still kind of the Detroit Red Wings for us too, just because of the early days playing them. I'm sure for the Stars – it's probably still going to be the Colorado Avalanche.
Still hate the Avs. Yeah.
The Avs are a big one.
Still hate the Avs, but I will say.
The Preds are growing.
The Preds Stars grudge is growing.
Do you feel like Stars fans in general are starting to look at the Preds as like a team that they hate, or do you just feel like that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can look outside of my own hatred to actually answer that. But I do think we've seen each other a lot in pivotal situations, and what we've also now, what from the stat you read at the beginning, they've always played each other tough.
Yeah.
And so I think now that there's a little hate there, because even on Saturday, I mean, like you said, it was a physical game. So I think you'll always see these teams from here on out play each other hard. And I think there's going to be some chippiness that grows throughout the years, and the Stars and the Preds are going to start hating each other more.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think the way they play, their styles are so similar, like, in a lot of ways. And I think it just makes for really entertaining hockey.
It's good hockey, man.
For instance, like, earlier last week, we played the Florida Panthers, and that game was like a turnover nightmare. It's end-to-end action. For some fans, that's exciting. And it was exciting, but it was a different type of hockey. Whereas the Saturday night game was literally just you're having to work for every inch of the ice. You're having to like, nothing's going to come easy. And you're just waiting for that first goal to be scored, because you're thinking that one goal might be enough tonight. The way these goaltenders are playing, the way these guys are forechecking each other, the way they're blocking shots and just doing all these things. I mean, it felt that way. It felt like the first team to score in regulation might win.
Yeah.
And it took overtime, almost went to a shootout. I mean, it's just another crazy game.
Yeah, I mean,
these two teams.
We even kill a penalty in late time, and it doesn't matter.
It was a key kill, but I think the momentum shifted a little bit after that.
For sure.
And it's a 0-0 game. Eventually, something's going to happen. It was which team's going to crack first. And so now, looking ahead, going, you know, let's see what this playoff race ends up being. I think both teams are in very similar situations in terms of either way they're up against. Both teams are up against a very tall mountain to climb if they're going to beat most likely the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. It could still be the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Florida Panthers. That's still a really close race for the division title, but Carolina is the overwhelming favorite right now. And I just got to ask you, how are you going to feel about this season as far as maybe considering it a success? Do the Stars have to win in the first round? How bad is it going to be if they miss the playoffs altogether? Is it going to be like, what are the implications there? How are you feeling, man?
I feel either way. Going to the Stanley Cup last year, being such a contender the year before with the Stanley Cup champions, even a first round out is still disappointing. Now, that's just as a fan, but looking at the season, I don't know how to feel. I don't know if I should feel happy that, you know, making the playoffs. I think either way, if we don't make it past the first round, like if we make it in and we don't make it past the first round, you'll see a new head coach for the Dallas Stars.
Oh, wow.
And I think you won't see a ton of personnel change, but hopefully we'll see a system change of how they play.
Well, objectively speaking, the Stars have gone through a ton of adversity with the COVID that kept them from starting on time. They didn't start till January 22nd, whereas the Preds started on January 14th. Most of the league started on January 14th. So started 8 days after the NHL season actually started. Opened up the season by completely destroying the Preds 7-0. And that was around a time when the Preds entered their, like, nosedive, and no one thought the Preds had any chance to be in the position they are now at that point. And then you beat the Preds again 2 days later. So you open the season with two wins against the Preds in regulation. And then the winter storm happens, which postponed a game between the Preds and the Stars. And so that's kind of what puts you guys even further behind. And so now you've been making up all these games throughout the season. For the longest time, the Stars had four games in hand over the Predators in the standings. And I've been looking at the Stars all season, like, getting excited because the Preds are making this playoff run and they're in the fourth playoff spot. And I've been looking at the Stars all season, like, they're lurking. They're hanging out back there. Yeah, they're 6 points behind. They're 5 points behind, whatever the number would be. But they've got four extra games to play, and I've been waiting for the Stars to go on this hot streak, and you haven't really done it. No. You haven't been able to do it.
And we've only got one game now. We've only got one game left on you.
Yeah. Just like the Carolina Hurricanes are our kryptonite this season, for y'all, it seems like it's still the Tampa Bay Lightning.
We can't beat them right now.
I mean, well, there a lot of teams couldn't beat the Tampa.
But
they're a good team.
But, I mean, I think we picked up one win in our series against them. And we have to play them two more times, I believe.
I think so,
yeah. I mean, to finish out the season, I know we have to play Carolina, Tampa, and Florida at some point. I think we have one makeup game with Florida. But if we make it in, it's going to be murderer's row for sure.
Yeah. You're going to have to really push. And so we're going to see how this feels. How this ends up, but Clayton, really appreciate you joining the podcast.
Yeah, man.
I've brought this guy up plenty of times in previous episodes, and this is actually the guy who texted me live in one of the last episodes, talking about how the Stars were in a playoff spot, and I guess this guy does a scoreboard watch because the Preds won two. That was the night that the Preds beat the Florida Panthers last week, and
correction, we were in a playoff spot for 30 minutes.
Okay, so for 30 minutes, you had that fourth playoff spot. So that's all we allowed you.
In that moment, I was all correct.
Right. I guess you were correct. The game wasn't over yet. All right, I take it back. You were technically right. All right, so it's been fun. This has been episode 41 of the Catfish and Ice podcast, brought to you by DraftKings and part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go follow the Catfish and Ice podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Catfish Ice. This is Chad Mitten, your host. Chad Mitten and Rich Howe and Colin Bloom will be back with you later this week for episode 42. Until then, everyone stay safe and take care, and we'll talk to you next time.